The brain is where the mind lives. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories. The brain is where the mind lives. This is the type of thing that the Bible teaches to everyone, that the brain is where the mind lives. Every single story in the Bible relates to activities that human beings are doing, and how human beings, when they associate themselves with their higher nature, can accomplish great and wonderful marvels. But the human beings are taught that they must respond and live according to principle, and that no one is exempt from living according to principle, because principle is indeed the mind. Principle is indeed higher than the brain, if you can say higher or lower, because principle is what the brain acts upon. Now, when a parent is a good parent, teaching their children wonderful things and living wonderful things themselves in their own life, a good role model, a good example, then the children follow that role model very beautifully and very wonderfully and very harmoniously. And as the children follow the role model of their ideal parent, the children become wonderful and powerful and desirable and good in every way in their life. They become the type of children that the world is proud of, that the world delights to see around them. Now, the brain is like the child, and the mind is like the parent. When the parent lives according to principle, when the parent lives according to the rules of the game that they have chosen to play for themselves, and are a good role model, then the child will be a good example of that. Now, can we ever say that the mind, the intelligence of the universe, is not a good example? No, we could hardly ever say that, because it is beyond being an example. It is and is. The mind is all the intelligence, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the beingness that could be. And a parent would like to think that they are all the beingness that could be. They're all the mind, they're all the wisdom. And in light of the parent being a role model for their children, so the mind is a role model for the brain. And the mind is an expression of all that is good, all that is beautiful. Could the mind ever vary from what its stated purpose is, or what its expected purpose is? Could we ever expect that the mind would allow us to do something that is improper? No. Then how can we do things that are improper? What role model do we follow? Well, we have to come to the conclusion that the mind is broader than the concept that the human brain conceives for it. The mind is both what we conceive of as good and bad. The mind is the allness. The mind is the beneficialness. Now, the mind knows that if it says beautiful things, it will have beautiful responses. The mind knows that when it says irritable things, it's going to have irritable responses. Well, how can the mind be active in that sort of way? Well, where do you think your thoughts come from? Where do you think your ideas, my ideas, come from? They come out of the mind. I look at my human body, and my human body is a reflection of whatever I believe my mind to be. And if I believe my mind to be the allness of beneficial things, then that's what I will be. If I believe my mind is a naughty mind, a mind that takes from others and is not respective of what sort of responses I'm going to get for what causes I put in motion, then I have a foolish brain. My mind will respond exactly the way my brain wants it to respond. It seems as though we have a great challenge that faces us as to how do we train our brain so that it will get the most out of the mind. How does a child train themselves to get the most out of their parent? Well, a child trains himself to get the most out of the parent by loving the parent as a teacher, following everything the parent shows the child to do, and living it in their everyday life. Now, the brain, as it loves the mind in all of its variousness, and realizes that the mind has within it all, it has salt water and fresh water. And the body is trained to drink fresh water and like it, and not to drink salt water, because it is not something the body wants to drink. And yet the body is made up largely out of salt. How strangely and how unusual that is. The body fluids are very salty. And then again, there's a role model being played here. And that role model is called balance. That role model is called, how have we created our body? Do we want to create our body as something that enjoys salt water? Well, then we create ourselves as a fish. We create ourselves as a fish living in the ocean. Now, a freshwater fish placed in the ocean is not going to be happy. A freshwater fish expects fresh water. You see, they're all there. Everything is in the universal allness, in the universal mind. And we, in our variable attitudes about ourselves, we decide what sort of things we're going to have. We, at one time, perhaps, lived in the ocean. And evolution took place, if that's our story. And in that evolution, we came walking out of the ocean into the air. And many did not succeed. Many did not acclimate to the air after having been in the ocean. And many swam upstream. And when they swam upstream, they swam away from the salty ocean water into the clear land water, the water of the rivers and the water of the lakes. And they acclimated to that. And the acclimation is always going on. We have that acclimation going on in us, because the brain is where the mind lives. The mind reveals itself in all sorts of ways through the brain. And unless we allow our brain to be an open channel to all that is in the universe, we won't experience it. Now, many people like to probe into bacteria, and they like to probe into negative things that are harmful to the body, because they say this will help them to understand it. Well, actually what they're doing, they're evolving. They're going through a stage of evolution. Do we have to know that fire is hot and to not put our hand on a stove so that we don't burn it? Yes, in a manner of speaking, we do. However, just putting our hand near a hot stove makes us realize that that stove is a little warmer than our hand wants to do. And our hand, though it can acclimate to it, will be burned if we put it on that hot stove. And then we have the ability to completely obliterate all of these attitudes, all of these ways of looking at things, and looking at things quite differently. And the infinite intelligence, the infinite mind, is always there with its allness, with its hot and its cold and its whatever. And you and I, with our brain, our unique, wonderful, fantastic brain, can tell ourselves that the hot coals are cool, wet moss. And in turn, walk over that cool, wet moss without feeling any burn on our feet whatsoever. That seems like an irresponsible, totally impossible task. And yet it's a task, or it's a project, program, or activity that people go and enter into. They pay to learn how to do it. They go to take a course in learning how to walk on fire. But that's a misnomer. That's a lie. They don't walk on fire. What they walk on is cool wet moss. They're training their mind to think what they want it to think. And they want their mind to think that the hot coals are cool wet moss. And it can be done. And it is done. Not everybody wants to do it because everybody feels that it's too great a leap of credibility for them to do that. They cannot do such an incredulous thing. It just boggles their mind. However, many people do. The exception is the rule. Okay. The brain has the ability to receive out of the infinite cosmos, out of the infinite mind, whatever information it chooses to have. And if it chooses to have the information that it is a genius brain, then it is a genius brain. It just teaches it to think of itself as a genius brain, and it will demonstrate itself as a genius brain, because the genius brain consciousness, the genius brain attitude, dwells in the mind, in the mind itself, in the universal mind. And all we do is to determine that we're going to, instead of calling it hot, we're going to call it cool wet moss. Instead of calling it intelligence that's beyond us, we're going to say that we are genius, that we have this infinite knowledge, this infinite awareness, this infinite beingness in us now, and that we are that right now, that we are the allness right now. You see, we have the image, the role model of all knowledge or stupidity. We have the role model of hot or cool wet moss. We have the role model of all of these ideas, concepts, activities, and we can play them in our experience if we wish, or we can be overwhelmed by them if we wish. Now, is it necessary that we all learn to walk on cool wet moss instead of on hot burning coals? Well, we don't have to. Many people are a genius without having ever done that. All they do is call forth a genius within them. I know that. I know that. Children are so accustomed to saying, oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that. And we are so accustomed to putting them down. Whereas, if we are really the role model, if we are really the parental role model of the children in our world, then we would say to each child, you are a genius. You can walk on cool wet moss. Well, of course I can walk on cool wet moss. Anybody can walk on cool wet moss. What a silly thing to say. Yes, yes, yes. And as we are like the little child, as we're told, one must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must become as that incredulous little child to enter into the allness of knowledge, the allness of wisdom. The Bible stories teach these things continuously and continuously, and we continuously ignore it. But perhaps today, perhaps today is the day that you and I are going to turn our attention to that ability of taking our physical body and putting it through rigors that are not rigors at all. Putting it through mental attitudes where we are master. And we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. We say, every organ, action, function in my body is perfect right now. We say, I am the master of my thought. I am the master of my being. I am the master of all. And when we do that, the concept of firewalking, walking on cool, wet moss, is not as far out as it seems. And it truly is not as far out. It's not far out at all. It's merely the utilization of the infinite cosmic and mental attitude, the mind, by our physical body. And we can and we will do that every day. That's why we're told, man, know thyself. That's why we're told, go within and go to that mind within, that intelligence within, that divinity within, and let it be revealed outwardly. Let us have all the knowledge of the universe readily available to us as it is. And instead of pushing it away by saying, I don't know, say, I know that I know that I know, and let it be revealed in all of its majesty, in all of its wonder, in all of its divinity. And as we let it be revealed, we find that we are spectacular indeed. That's all it takes. We are spectacular indeed. The brain is where the mind lives. The mind reveals itself through the brain. And that's what the brain is all about. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.